show that specializes in the great service that amateur radio provides. Your host is Lynn Winkler, KB7LPW.
CQ, 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 and welcome to Ham Radio and More. I'm Len Winkler, KB7LPW, in the studio along with...
Ned Stearns, AA7A.
The Professor, and we also have in studio Jack Reed, WA7LNW, who's going to be visiting us and taking pictures and stuff for the upcoming Southwestern Division Convention in Mesa. They're going to be able to see us, what we do in this beautiful studio in Phoenix, Arizona. What do you think of that, Prof?
Heaven help them.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. Our phone number is 1-800-293-5366, 1-800-293-5366. But today, we're going to be talking about antennas. So if you have a question regarding the basics of antennas or some high-class, intricate formula, the professor has it all. And today's show brought to you by EDCO, MFJ, and Exotic Research Report. Grab a line if you want to talk about antennas, 1-800-293-5366. But before we go for our first break, Jack Reed, WA7LNW, is in studio. And Jack, you're going on a de-expedition in a week or so. When is it? Where is it? And tell us about it.
That's right, Lynn. Yeah, we're going to be leaving Phoenix, Arizona on August the 16th, arriving on Midway Island on the 18th. There will be three stations we'll be operating from Midway Island on RTTY, CW, SSB, and we even have a satellite operator, so we'll be doing some satellite operation from there as well.
Now, Midway is an obscure play. I mean, it hasn't been on very actively?
Well, actually, Midway has belonged to the Navy for the last 50 years, and this is the first time in a little over 50 years, or since World War II, that civilians have been allowed on the island.
Really?
We'll be part of the first 30 civilians ever allowed on the island after this initial changeover has occurred. It's located on Midway Island, for instance, is located 1,250 miles northwest of Honolulu. It's actually part of the Hawaiian chain if you look out there. And now they're referring to Midway as Midway Atoll because it's now a wildlife refuge. Mm. And will be run and operated by the United States Fish and Wildlife Service.
Hopefully none of the wildlife will come in while you're operating.
Actually, the island is inhabited by about 13 different species of very rare birds. Mm. A lot of albatross, goonie birds, and a number of species are near extinction. So that's the purpose of Midway Island today.
Okay, and they can all get QSL cards from?
KE7LZ. KE7LZ is the QSL manager, and I'd like to mention the member of the team. The members of the team are Frank, Alpha Hotel Zero Whiskey, myself, of course, WA7LNW. I'll be concentrating on RTTY, by the way. And then Frank W2UE, who will celebrate his 70th birthday on the island of Midway, which is really exciting. We also have Andy from Russia, UA3AB. Mm. And then Pat, NH6UY, who will be our satellite specialist.
Well, we hope to be able to get you back on when you come back to talk about it, because we don't discuss de-expeditions that often, and this one is very rare, and especially if you're going to be one of the first civilians there, that'd be kind of neat.
Yeah, we look forward to giving as many people that need Midway Island for their DXCC a contact.
I need it for my first confirmed country.
Well,
so thanks for being here. We got to take a break, so you're listening to Ham Radio More, and we'll be right back. You want to know more about HARP? Is it a friend or a foe? How about forbidden cancer cures, herbs, and how to use them? How about weather control, the Gulf War syndrome, electromagnetic weapons, the internet, the New World Order, alternative energy, alternative medicine, mind control technology, famine in our future, crop future skyrocketing, all this and more in Exotic Research Report. And you can get it at a discounted rate if you mention Ham Radio and More when you call 1-800-446-3465. That's right. Order a year's subscription of Exotic Research Report. Get an Exotic Research advisor. Ask them to send it to you free. It's fine. 1-800-446-3465. Amazing features. Find out about HARP. Find out the real inside information about HARP. 1-800-446-3465. Mention Ham Radio and More. 1-800-446-3465. This is information you have to have. 1-800-446-3465. Call now.
Here's great news about how investing a little money can help you reap big rewards. Now, for a limited time, when you subscribe to Barron's for 13 weeks and use your credit card, you'll receive an extra 4 weeks free. That's 17 weeks of vital information to help you make smarter investment decisions. Every week, Barron's scours the investment world for growth opportunities with comprehensive coverage of stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. Everything at home and around the world that could affect your investments.
Subscribe to Barron's today. Get the knowledge and insight you need to help you achieve your investment goals. Don't miss this great offer. 13 weeks for just $37, plus an extra 4 weeks free. That's 27% off the newsstand price. This offer is available to new subscribers only, so act now.
Call toll-free 800-228-8222. That's 800-228-8222 for Barron's. How money becomes wealth.
Every new ham needs a personal tutor.
The MFJ 411 Personal Pocket Size Morse Code Tutor will help you learn Morse code quickly and precisely. You can take it anywhere. It'll fit in your shirt pocket, take it with you in your car on an airplane. It's got an earphone jack for private use. No more cassettes, books, and computer disks. QST Magazine says the MFJ 411 is the clear choice for beginners. It's based on the ARRL method. Unlike code tapes, you'll never memorize it because the code sessions are random. You can replay it to check yourself. The MFJ 411 has speed adjustment from 5 to 60 words per minute, a 9-volt battery or 12-volt power supply selection, letters, numbers, random words, and QSOs, also learned by the famous Farnsworth method.
Your own personal Morse code tutor can be yours for the low retail price of $79.95.
Call 1-800-647-1800 for a catalog and dealer nearest you. That's 1-800-647-1800. MFJ Enterprises, the world leader in ham radio accessories, 1-800-647-1800.
CQ, CQ, this is Ham Radio and More.
Okay, Len Winkler back, KB7LPW, again with the professor today.
AA7A.
That's right. Oh, didn't even say his name because we all know him as the professor. Okay, our phone number is 1-800-293-5366, 1-800-293-5366. And if you want a fax, we take faxes, area code 602-241-1540, 602-241-1540. And we're talking today about, I mean, basically the most essential part, other than the radio maybe, the essential part of a ham radio or even a shortwave radio station, the antenna. I'm just curious because my dad, whenever we talk about antennas, he goes way back from, you know, way back, and he says aerials. Is there really any difference between the word aerial and antenna?
No, they refer to the same thing.
Yeah. Is it like something?
Skyhook, aerial, antenna. They're all the same thing. That's what connects your radio to the ether, essentially.
It
plugs you in, lets you hear the signals in the electromagnetic spectrum.
Excellent. Okay. When it comes to antennas, what is the absolute simplest antenna that anybody can have?
Well, the simplest antenna is clearly the dipole. The dipole is approximately one half wavelength at a particular frequency, and it's the simplest thing to make. When I was a kid, I used to pride myself of being able to put up a dipole in a matter of an hour using... hook up wire. And
yeah, take us through making a very simple, you know.
Okay. The first thing you got to do is you should pick a frequency. For example, a 40 meter band,
mm-hmm.
1/4 wavelength is approximately 66 feet.
Okay.
And all you do is you cut two pieces of wire, 33 foot, a little bit more than 33 foot each.
Okay, now are we talking about what kind of wire? Number 10 wire?
Number 10 hookup wire is okay,
mm-hmm.
but you can use bubble pack wire. You can get your local radio store. In fact, working with number 18 wire or something like that is really all you need. And the other parts that you need are are insulators and the feed line. Insulators are needed to essentially provide a means of holding on to the ends of the wire. One is in the center, and you have insulators at the ends of the dipole. Because you do get voltages developing at the ends, you need to insulate the ends of the dipole from other conducting members. And the other thing you need is to have non-conducting support, or wires, ropes, I should say, string, whatever. If you use more wire to hold on the end of the insulated ends of the dipole, you do tend to alter the effective length of the dipole. So you just use string or other non-conducting material.
Mm-hmm.
So what I used to use as a kid, get old broomsticks, saw off 1 or 2 inch pieces, and then use little screw eyes, running them into each end of the cut off piece of wood. And then you have an instant insulator, or you can purchase these molded ones. A number of companies sell them. They're a little, they're about $5, $6, $8, but they'll weather a lot better. But to just start, I would, you know, I'd start with just blocks of wood and screw eyes. Works really nicely.
So basically, you could make this dipole for literally $10 or less.
If that, yeah. The most expensive part would be the coax.
Okay, well then why do people spend oodles of money buying antennas if you can make a nice dipole antenna? I mean, does it have any gain to it?
No, that is the basic thing. It's efficient, but it is resonant only at one band, and it gives you adequate coverage. It's not good. You won't be the biggest signal on the band, mm-hmm. but it will get you there. It'll be excellent for receive antenna. The only real thing to be concerned about on transmitting antenna is its efficiency. You can receive on any antenna. But transmitting, it's most important that the antenna be resonant.
For the standing wave ratio, yes. too, not to so cause more coming back to going
that's
in.
That's correct. Uh-huh. You need to transmit the power out of your transmitter into the real part of your antenna, and that real part only exists at resonance.
Okay, so for that dipole, that would work for shortwave receiving perfectly.
Oh, yes. It would work on any band. Mm-hmm. I've used that technique a long time. Any outdoor antenna, it's a lot more efficient than any indoor antenna.
Sure.
So, just putting up a simple dipole like that 40-meter one will give you coverage from broadcast through wherever is high you want to listen. These days won't be very high with the sunspot cycle the way it is, but you'll hear it no matter what it is.
Okay, so if we have this dipole that we made very inexpensively, but we'd like to increase its gain, what do we need to do?
Well,
throw it out and start over with something else, J-pole or something? I don't know.
No antenna has gain. It has directionality, all right? It's not like an amplifier, but what it will do is it will redirect the energy in one direction and less in other directions. And there are many popular ways of doing that. One is to use multiple antennas which are fed in some sort of a phasing relationship. Another way is the use of parasitic elements like reflectors, like the Yagi, which has been in the staple of ham mm-hmm. radio antennas for, I don't know, 50 years now, uses parasitic elements to direct the energy from the antenna. A two-element Yagi will have, say, a reflector spaced about 2/10 of a wavelength away from the driven element, and that will give about, I don't know, 6-7 dB of gain, and will provide some null off the back of the antenna, which has some value as well. If you live in a noisy neighborhood or have a lot of hams in your area, having a null off the backside of the antenna is a very handy thing to have. So that's the most popular gain antenna. There are other variants of that. There's the quad, log periodic. There's a number of them, but they all basically rely on a resonant element with parasitic reflectors and directors spaced around it.
Okay. Well, we're getting a basic education in beginning antenna, and we certainly can go from there to wherever you want to direct the traffic. Our phone number is 1-800-293-5366, 1-800-293-5366. We've got a couple of lines open. Tim, you'll be next when we come out of the break. And with the professor here, you can ask him. Well, you've used quite a lot of antennas in your life. I mean, from store-bought to built to for EME, moonbounds,
yeah,
to you name it.
I was on the moon last night using my homemade moonbounds array, a 6 Yagi. It's 13-element Yagi, so a total of, what is that? I forget.
And you built it yourself?
78-element array. Yes, I did. Hand-built.
78 elements, you built it yourself.
That's correct.
So if people want to know, this is not just the person who just read it and is giving you the information. He can tell you how to do it because he did it himself. So don't be a stranger. Give us a call. I know the Olympics are our competition right now. It's a little difficult, but, you know, people, hams are hams.
It's the aerobics, gymnastics. Maybe you'll stray away from the TV for a little bit.
Exactly. 1-800-293-5366, one line available, 1-800-293-5366, and we'll be right back to Ham Radio and more.
Do During radio's 75-year history, there were several ill-conceived shows. One such show was Dr. Antoine Sorvay, radio contortionist.
I will now bend my head between my legs, pushing the nose on my face up to touch my shoulder blades. Now my left arm up between my chin and chest and grasp my right elbow. I will try that once more.
This show aside, you'll find virtually every other radio show and personality from radio's beginning to the present in Blast from the Past, a pictorial history of radio's first 75 years by B. Eric Rhodes. 478 pages, over 900 rare photos make this book the nostalgia book of this year or any year.
I will now tuck the toe of my right foot under my left ear. I will try that once more.
The faces, the shows that make up radio's first 75 years, Blast from the Past.
Call with your credit card handy, 800-228-5500, $39.99 plus shipping. That's 800-228-5500.
When is a good time to subscribe to the National Business Employment Weekly? When you remember happier days at work, when you're afraid that layoffs are coming, or when you'd like to try a whole new career. In fact, anytime you'd like to get ahead, earn more money, or start your own business, it's time to subscribe to the National Business Employment Weekly. Every issue is filled with hundreds of high-salary jobs and new career options, and timely advice that can make the difference between getting that new job or not. Do you know the top 10 peeves of interviewers, or what it takes to negotiate for a better salary, or how to write a resume that will grab an employer's attention? That's the kind of timely advice you'll find in every issue to help you get the jump on a better job, a new career, or a new business opportunity. The National Business Employment Weekly, published by the Wall Street Journal. Call now and get 12 weekly issues for only $52. You'll also receive free with your paid subscription the essential 270-page guide to creating winning resumes.
Call 800-223-1100. That's 800-223-1100.
Here is a duck. Here is a dog. Here is a bunny.
In radio's 75-year history, there were many great radio acts. Ed Beeman's unmemorable Hand Shadows of the Airwaves was not one of them. Nor was Raymond P. Hamill, radio escape artist, one of radio's outstanding shows. That's why you won't find photos of any of these shows in Blast from the Past, a pictorial history of radio's first 75 years by B. Eric Rhodes. Nor will you find Sidney Feldscher in his long-forgotten Radio Mime Hour. What you will find in radio's first 75 years is over 900 rare photos of radio greats, from Fanny Bryce to Jack Benny to Howard Stern. This beautiful coffee table book will bring back fond memories, but not of this man, radio's first and last magician, the amazing Morty.
And now I will saw my assistant, Francine, in half.
Ow!
Call with your credit card handy, 800-228-5500, $39.99 plus shipping. That's 800-228-5500.
CQ, CQ. This is Ham Radio and More with your host, Lynn Winkler, KB7, LPW.
Okay, I know that everybody is dying to ask Ned the one question, and I'll ask it, and then we'll go to Tim, first caller. If you live in an apartment or a condominium and you have absolutely no room whatsoever, can you still use, is there an antenna? What would you recommend to use? I mean, other than cheating by trying to stick it outside, if it has to be inside.
If it has to be inside, I hope your significant other is appreciative of your problem. But you'll have to have
you an antenna. You want it in the bedroom?
Inside, yes. Be specific about what you want in the bedroom. And if it has to be inside, you expect some less than optimum performance.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I can say. I mean, you can string dipoles in your room. You can put them on the outside wall. You can cheat and sneak something small on the outside of a window or on a patio. Or I remember I was in a hotel in Florida, and I took a radio along, 6 meter radio, and I brought a dipole. And I was surprised to get there, and there was no patio, there was no nothing. But when it got dark outside, I leaned out the window, and with small weights, threw little pieces of string over awnings or something like that, and I hauled a dipole outside my window. In about an hour.
And you had 12 countries.
I did work about, 40-some stations on an opening on 6 meters with that simple antenna.
You and 6 meters. We're going to have to talk about that one of these days. Tim in Beckley, West Virginia, I believe, WWNR. Welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Good to hear from, good to talk to y'all again.
Good to talk to you, Tim. Go ahead. You're on the air.
My question is, I live with my parents in a place that do not allow outside antennas. What would be the best way for me to put up an antenna?
Well, Tim, this is Ned. The best thing to do is to put up something that doesn't look like an antenna. Okay. I know a lot of people will load up their gutters. They'll run antennas along TV coax lines.
Okay, I want to stop you right there. You said load up your gutter. Now, I know what that means, but would you explain it?
Well, okay, using the aluminum gutter as the conducting element of an antenna. I mean,
so you just run a wire to it, or
yeah? Now that's dangerous because you get metallic contacts are not very good. You may have to run extra, sheet metal screws or something like that to get good bonding between them. But if you want to put up an outside antenna in a place you're talking about, it shouldn't look like an antenna. You can either hide it in a tree. I know the popular one is use a flagpole. Not everybody allows flagpoles either. They don't allow outside antennas. Or string it under the eave. That's a very popular one. I have a friend here who lives in a very restrictive neighborhood. He put an element under the eave of his house and where you couldn't see it, and he got away with that. But a lot of times in those kind of neighborhoods, your neighbors will turn you in, which is a problem. So anything, if you put an antenna that doesn't look like an antenna, you better get approval from your immediate neighbors. Otherwise, you got to put up an antenna inside. Now, I know some people who do have who live in houses. Not maybe. I don't know if you're in. Are you in a condo or in an apartment?
I'm in a house.
Okay, in a house. I have a friend who actually puts VHF Yagis in his attic. He operates a lot of 6 meters, and he has 3 different Yagis in his attic, and he switches between the 3 in order to get different directions. And he seems to do fine. He works all over the country. So they aren't as good, but if that's all you got, that's good enough.
Yeah, you have to use what you can use and work with what you have. Some people are lucky, like Mike Fulcher would be on 5 acres, and put up 100-foot towers.
I think it's lucky. I think it's he planned when he purchased that land. He knew exactly what he was going to do with it.
But each has their own intricate problems. So, Tim, I hope that helps a little bit.
It did, and 73 to you two gentlemen.
Okay, you too. 73. Thanks for calling.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
For listening. And that opens up one line at 1-800-293-5366, 1-800-293-5366. If you have a specific problem relating to an antenna, if you want to know the professor's suggestion as to what's better, a quad or a Yagi, or what do you think is the best?
Well,
the best. If money is no object.
Well, I think the quad's an interesting antenna. I started my DXing days with a quad, and I found it to be a good performer because I didn't have it at a very good height, very very high in the air, and it seemed to do as well as other people's Yagis much higher. It seems to be benefit from the just a natural lower elevation angle, I believe, is why it worked as well as it did at the lower altitude.
Mm-hmm.
You know how that was invented at HCJB down in Quito, Ecuador? They were running high power.
Mm-hmm.
And they were blowing our Yagis apart, and someone said it was a divine inspiration that they that the engineer there invented the quad, and they stopped blowing up their antennas.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
That's
okay,
right.
We're going to take a station identification break, and when we come back, we're going to go right to the phones, and we'll get Arnie, then Tom, and we'll take all these calls, so we'll be right back. Okay, station identification being finished. Let's go right to the phones at 1-800-293-5366. And I want to remind people that the professor will be here another hour, even after the show ends at the top of the hour, and he'll be happy to take calls and questions. So even if the show ends where you're at and don't hear it for our next hour, because we don't uplink it, then by all means, still use our 1-800 number, and the professor will be here to answer your questions. Okay, let's go to Arnie, N9KLK in Stetsonville, Wisconsin. Welcome, Arnie.
Well, it's KJK, but it's close enough.
KJK. You know what? It does say KJK. I can't read.
Don't feel bad. Everybody messes up on everybody. I have kind of a two-part question. One is just one is kind of what they, I know he's talking about that de-expedition. Just one part of that to Midway. Are they been doing some sort of documentary type thing on that island?
Okay, Jack, you want to answer him? Is there going to be any kind of a follow-up? I know you guys usually do a video of some sort,
right?
Especially you, because you're Mr. Video. I mean, you
I guess
did that.
I'm just curious about it being been 50 years. I'd like to.
Well, you know,
guess
you've got Jack Reed, who did the video for that Finland. Not, what
right.
was
it? Was the PJ9 whiskey
right.
Operation down in Curacao. Which
Curacao.
Was,
I'd like to see what's on there, I guess.
Well, yeah, I think you'll be seeing a lot more information about Midway Island now that it's been opened up to the public. They do have concessionaires. There are actually three of them. There's a dive concession, there's a sports fishing, and then there's like a nature conservative concession on the island now. And this is all to raise funds and to give people something to do when they do visit Midway Island. And so I think you're going to start seeing books and pictures and a lot of things like coming out of
there. Okay, that's kind of all I wanted to know. That's good, because I know usually when that something like that opens up, it's nice to get a little bit more information on it. Anyway, I do have an antenna question.
Well, but since you brought up a Midway, I just have a question. How are you getting there? Can't just take Southwest Airlines or something?
Well, we actually are taking Southwest.
Oh, really?
From Phoenix to Los Angeles. Then it's Hawaiian Air over to Honolulu. Honolulu, an inter-island flight to Kauai. Mm-hmm. And then from Kauai, believe it or not, it's still a four-hour flight from Kauai to Midway Island. And we're taking a private Phoenix Midway 19-passenger turboprop Gulfstream from there to Midway.
Interesting.
That's the only plane that's landing there other than some military C-31s. One mention I might make for people that are interested in Midway, there are a couple of really nice web pages out there. If you do a search by the word Midway, there's even one page out there that's written by a lady whose husband was in the military and lived there for a number of years. In fact, she even had a child that was born there. There are some pictures of the graduating class, high school class of 1966, and a couple of nice aerial photographs. So there are some information out there already.
And what's the size of Midway Island?
Midway Island's only 1 mile wide and 1.8 miles long, so it's not much more than a runway and a few buildings and hangars.
But you are going to be inside? You have accommodations?
Right. We've made arrangements to operate from two separate buildings, and our lodging will be in the officers' quarters. We'll actually have individual rooms. We have to share a bathroom that's in between those rooms. And the eating facilities are actually in the mess hall, the military mess hall, at precisely 5 o'clock local time there.
And what is the call sign going to be? What is the station going to be?
We're still working on a special call sign, so we don't have that yet. But you'll be able to hear us. We'll be on probably, look for us after 0600 Zulu hours on August the 19th. That would be UTC August 19th.
Okay, and we do have to get a follow-up when you come back.
I'll be glad to.
We have to find out since this is such a rare thing. Okay, stay right where you are, Arnie. We're going to continue with you, but we're going to take a real short pause, so don't go away. 1-800-293-5366, 1-800-293-5366. We're talking about antennas today and your questions. Whatever they are regarding antennas, we have the Professor AA7A here along with me, Len Winkler, KB7LP. PW, and we'll be right back. If you're just joining us, this is Ham Radio and More, and I'm Len Winkler, KB7LPW, along with the professor,
Ned Stearns, AA7A.
And we're talking about antennas. Our phone number is 1-800-293-5366, 1-800-293-5366. I want to remind people that this show is live at 2200 UTC Sundays. Okay, so if you're hearing us at any other time than that, it's a tape program. Please don't call. Let's go back to Arnie and continue with your second portion, please.
Yeah, well, what was my question for you, Professor, is I picked up a brand name, but a 7-element Mosley-type antenna. Got it home, and one of the driven elements are missing. Unfortunately, there's two of them, one of the driven elements. Well, due to an antenna restriction, basically, my wife, I was wondering if there's a way to possibly shorten that antenna up, possibly to a 3 or 4 element, still utilizing the traps on the unit, you know.
Wow. Which antenna did you pick up, by the way?
I believe it's an older TH model. I don't even know if Mosley's even still in business. Are they or not?
Oh, yeah. Sure. I just put up a Pro 67 last year.
Yeah, it's a beautiful antenna. It's one of the older ones. It's very heavy and built like a battleship. It's in real good shape. But the two center driver elements...
It sounds like the Pro 67, the original version of it. I'm using a 67C.
I really like the antenna. I mean, I do have this real estate to put it up all together. I guess I don't know if I can order the parts and possibly or remake the traps myself, or if there's a way of shortening that up, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend shortening it up. I talked to the chief engineer mostly when I was putting up my antenna. I'm just a curious guy, and they spend a lot of time and effort fine tuning the designs. It's very hard to predict antenna performance of a trapped Yagi. You pretty much get it by cut and try. And,
right, because I've built a lot of my own antennas.
And there's a lot of interaction between the conductors outside of the traps and inside. It's very tough to reuse their traps on any other design.
Do you know how I can get hold of them and possibly
just call their number. They're real reasonable to working with people who have older antennas. They figure if you like their antenna, they'll buy a new one. So I've had a lot of good luck getting information from them. They'll probably send you diagrams, the original construction diagrams for
that's
it.
That's what I'd like to have, because I got nothing with it whatsoever. Like I said, I basically stole it for the price I got it. So it was one of them things I could have, scrappy aluminum.
Well, you'll find, I think, if I recall, when we discussed this, Ned, before you built everything and did everything in your, after the wind destroyed you talked to a lot of the manufacturers, Force 12, a bunch of them.
I did a survey of all of the Aggies by all the major companies, and I was analyzing them in terms of, touted gain, their weight, their ability to withstand wind, and all of that. And I picked the Mosley because, I was getting six bands at the time with that one Yagi.
And I also wanted to mention that the professor's willing to accept from any other manufacturer 150-foot towers along with 20 and 40 element Yagis so that he can review them and make sure that they operate properly.
Should have been up here at an auction. They had an 80-footer crank-up and went for $100. I about passed out.
Oh, gee. Where was I?
Yeah, I tell you, but it weighed about who knows how many tons.
Oh, I understand.
He's a technical professor when it comes to auctions.
But anyway, you see, Mosley is still in business, though.
Oh, yes, they are, very much. They've come up with a whole lot of new Yagis.
Now, would you say this antenna, is that 20, 15, and 10? Or?
I don't really know. It's a seven elements odd. The Classic 36 was their... It sounds like an early version of the Pro 67, which is a six band Yagi.
Yeah, it's a seven. That's a 28 foot boom, I believe.
Yeah,
that sounds like
that style. So if you can get any labels off any of the traps, you might be able to help solve what
it
is.
Yeah, all I can get is it just says, the Mosley type thing. But anyway, well, good. Okay. I'll get hold of them. You don't have a number here,
but if I can get it, I'll get it before the end of the show. So keep listening.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, guys.
Okay, Ernie.
I listen to the program every week. So.
Appreciate it.
Okay,
Pass the word. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that opens up a line at 1-800-293-5366, 1-800-293-5366. I do have Mosley's phone number, and I'll give that when we come back after the break. We're going to be right back. Does ADCO have a deal for you? Electronic Distributors in Virginia sure does. Here it is. From AOR, it's the new AR2700. It's only $209.95. Now listen to what it does. This scanner will receive from 500 kilohertz all the way up to 1300 megahertz. It has tremendous features. AM, NFM, WFM. It has tremendous programmable step sizes. It has a wide variety of search and scan facilities, auto mode tuning, interval timers, pause timers, delay timers. It does so many things. And it's available for a mere $209.95 from participating dealers such as Ham Radio Outlet, or Universal Radio, or R&L Electronics, or Tucker Electronics, and there's others. Or you can give them a call if you'd like at their 800 number. That's EDCO, products from around the world. At 1-800-344-0397. That's 1-800-344-0397. Mention Ham Radio and More. They have tremendous products. The AR2700, get it now.
Have you ever shaken someone's hand and gotten their name, and 10 seconds later the name is forgotten? Well, forgetting someone's name is embarrassing, and in business, it costs you money. This is Kevin Trudeau, founder of the American Memory Institute, the world's largest memory training school. Having an instant recall memory, a photographic memory, is what the Mega Memory Home Study course is all about. I've pioneered the most advanced breakthrough in memory improvement technology in Mega Memory. Within just a few short hours, you'll increase your own memory 500% or more, guaranteed. You'll remember names and faces, even hundreds at a time, and instantly recall virtually everything you see, read, hear, or even think about. Students get straight A's with less study time. See why over 2 million people have already benefited from the Mega Memory Home Study course. Now, it's your turn.
Call 1-800-799-MEGA. That's 1-800-799-MEGA and improve your memory today. Start with this number, 1-800-799-MEGA.
So have you tried Amateur Radio Trader yet? The Ham Radio Marketplace magazine? That's right. It comes out twice a month. And if you want to sell a product, it's the place to put your ad. The only problem you might have is that you're going to run an ad and you're going to get so many responses. You're going to sell your product so fast, you're just not going to know what's happening. I mean, it really works. All you have to do is call 1-800-774-2623 or 1-800-77-HAM-AD. That's a good number, 1-800-77-HAM-AD. And you can place your ad right there, right over the telephone. You can also fax it if you want. They have a 1-800-FAX number, 1-800-423-9030. It's a tremendous magazine loaded with all kinds of products. You can get a subscription if you want, and all you have to do is give them a call. Give them a call, 1-800-774-2623. Mention Ham Radio and More, of course, when you give them a call. They also got ads from all the major manufacturers, so you can see what's new. Give them a call, 1-800-774-2623, 1-800-774-2623.
CQCQ, this is Ham Radio and More.
Okay, we're back, and Arnie, you wanted the phone number for Mosley. It's area code 314-994-7872. 314-994-7872. So, hope that helps out. Okay. Okay, let's go right to the phones. Let's go to Tom, K5HN. Is that Florida, Texas?
Florida.
Oh, Florida, okay.
Florida, yeah, everybody has problems.
Where is that? I've never heard of it.
Well, it's, and the call sign is kilowatt 5, half a keg of nothing. HKN.
Oh, now that's not my fault, because there was no K on the screen. Okay.
Okay.
But where is that city?
It's 100 miles south and east of Amarillo, Texas.
Okay.
I'm up here in the Panhandle.
And you're listening to us on shortwave?
No, on station out of Amarillo on 1010. It used to, I can't remember their call sign. They've changed it. But it used to be KBUY, but they've changed the call sign. I can't remember.
You're probably listening to us on WTNZ 1010 AM.
There it is. That's it.
Well, okay, welcome. Okay.
You
know what, though?
Talking about
wait a minute.
Antenna.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Whoa.
You're the first caller we ever had from that station. You have just won a Larson antenna.
Oh, boy.
So when we finish the call, I'm going to put you on hold. Larson's going to send you a catalog of every antenna they produce. You pick whichever one you want, and they'll send it to you free of charge.
How about that?
Okay, so now your question. Go ahead.
I'm a wiener, huh?
You sure is.
You're talking about antennas. I had been working with a telephone company, and we lots of galvanized steel wire, and I've made antennas out of it. It works real good. Only thing's a little stiff, but you can a lot of people have access to electric fence wire. And one reason I use the steel wire, it's broadbanded. It's low Q. And you can cover quite a bit of the 75 and 80 meter band with this steel wire. And besides that, we have lots of wind and ice in the wintertime. And if you build it right, it'll stay up. So I just want to mention that.
Well, that's you bring up an interesting point. They're compromised generally between broadbanded, low Q, and I equate that in my own mind as lossy, and one which is high Q and efficient. Steel wire isn't as good a conductor as copper, And it may possibly be that the reason it's broadbanded is that it has additional resistance that you're heating up, as opposed to, or a better conductor of copper.
Well, now you're talking about 83, which is about the difference in the resistance between that and copper on, say, 60 foot wouldn't be too much.
Yeah, I think it gets into skin depth. It depends on how much it's you're not putting currents, RF currents, through the volume of resistance. It's only on the surface.
Okay.
So the skin depth will start to be a more important factor in conductivity.
Okay, then the copper steel would work.
Copper-plated steel wire, which is what do you call copper weld, is a very good antenna wire. Real hard to mess with.
What if you used electrified fence and had it electrified?
You mentioned in that station in Quito, Ecuador. I've heard them. What did you say they'd done to their antennas?
Yeah, what had happened is that at the high altitudes, there's thin air up there, the voltage that was developed at the ends, the tips of the antennas, apparently developed a corona, and would essentially burn off the ends of the antenna.
They were running at real high power, weren't
they?
Well,
and I appreciate them for doing that. You know, it's given us those that run a little bit of high power some insight into what to avoid. and the quad antenna does not have that phenomena. There are no voltage nodes at a discontinuity. How do I want to say that? The corners of the quad are not voltage. You don't develop high voltage voltages at those points. So you the antenna is, for that reason, more survivable. Now, that only affects people who run hundreds of kilowatts at 10,000-foot elevation.
Hopefully not most hams.
But it also the converse. Some people suspect that their quads are quieter because they don't develop static discharge at times when you have, clouds flying overhead or
when
something.
When you have the dirt blowing?
Yeah, that happens out here in Phoenix as well as out there in a panhandle.
I'm sure. Okay.
Also, yes. I got a question. It's every once in a while I run into a CB operator that's cranked up, and running illegal power, and he's coming in on telephone lines. Is there anything you can complain to the FCC? I'm talking about the telephone subscribers, because every once in a while I run on one
I can tell you clowns. Right. I can tell you right now, Tom, that the FCC has so little staff. I mean, that's not even something I want to discuss, but it's going to be futile attempt.
I'm afraid of that.
The best thing to do is to protect yourself and help those around you by looking into some of these filters. Was it KCOM, I think it is, sells these modular inline filter sets, and there's also a kit you can apply to the junction box on the cable when the phone line goes into your house. Those generally will eliminate the problem.
Yeah. Right.
But forget the FCC. I mean, I hate to say it, but right now the enforcement, especially for CB, they've given up.
I'm afraid of that.
Unless you can show some real terrible violation where they're, murdering people or threatening that over the air,
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, I'm a repairman for telephone company, so I'm aware of those filters.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
To filter it out, you pretty near have to have a test transmission from the offending station.
Sure.
Because there are different types of filters.
They haven't been too accommodating normally.
Well, some people in the neighborhood, when they go to bothering their TV set and things like that, they get a little upset.
Right. Okay, Tom, hold on, because I'm going to let Frank take your information, and we'll get that Larson catalog. It'll take about 2 to 3 weeks, okay?
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Hold on. Okay, that's kind of neat, first caller from that area.
Really.
You can't get much further south in Texas than that, huh? That's kind of neat. Okay, Gil in Rising Sun, Maryland. Welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Yeah, how you doing? Where the sun doesn't shine very much.
Well, that must be why it's always rising.
You got it. I was kind of interested when you were talking about... I'm strictly a listener. I don't broadcast. I don't have a call sign or anything. And I'm moving to from Rising Sun, Maryland, to Sun City in about 2 weeks.
Arizona?
Yeah.
Oh, welcome. You'll be able to hear two lovely hours of us.
Well, that's right. I've got a place in Ventana Lake, so I should be there in about 2 weeks. I got two questions for you. The problem with the antennas, obviously not allowed in that area. Why is it that I never hear about anybody being able to run a straight 50-foot wire in the attic? Why won't that work just as good as one running outside?
Well, the key thing there is that you are surrounded by what's called lossy material, the dielectric of wood and asphalt and, not asphalt, but, you know, roofing materials is other than air, and it tends to absorb the fields surrounding the wire. So you lose a lot of the signal, that's all.
Well, then...
Okay, hold on. I got to take a break. Don't go away, Gil. We'll come right back to you after the break. So hold on, and this is Ham Radio More, and we'll be right back.
Art.
Hi, Fran. Say, be a good neighbor and let me check your consumer reports. There's a sale on camcorders.
Oh, but you already borrowed that issue for the stuff on stereos.
Uh-oh, I gave it to Ralph for the report on computer games.
Oh, but I need it back. That's the issue on flight crew bags.
No problem. I'll just call Ralph.
No. I have a better idea. Call Consumer Reports. Order a year subscription. You'll get 12 issues of Consumer Reports magazine, plus 2 free books with your payment, a handy reference on how to clean practically anything, and the 1996 buying guide. And you'll get the 1997 buying guide when it's published.
How much is all that?
Only $24. A $66 value for just $24. That's a fraction of what I saved on my TV and VCR.
To order Consumer Reports, call 800-358-8888. That's 800-358-8888. Get a year's subscription plus 2 free books and the 1997 buying guide, a $66 value for just $24. Call 800-358-8888.
Telephone.
Yes, is this a Tony Romano?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't believe it. I found you. It's him.
Who's this?
Well, you don't know me, Tony. I'm just your biggest fan. You want to hear the incredible way I found you?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was leafing through Blast from the Past. It's this fabulous new book, a pictorial history of radio's first 75 years. It's got hundreds and hundreds of rare photos. And there you are, Tony Romano, on page 178.
I am.
Uh-huh. So I wondered, my Tony, oh, my beloved Tony, alive or worse? So pull out the phone book. My eyes pop. You're in the phone book, Tony.
Right.
Oh, yeah, Tony, when I heard you singing back on radio's Jack Carson show, I think it was 1944, I just dreamed of the day I could see you, and there you are in Blast from the Past, so good-looking, and here I am talking to you 52 years later. So what do you do these days, sweetie?
Well, I always drive a produce truck.
Excuse the ring, sir. I told you it was another Tony Romano. It sounded like a fool!
Call with your credit card handy, 800-228-5500-3999, plus shipping. That's 800-228-5500.
If you love cars and love reading about them, now there's a magazine that blows the doors off anything you've seen before. Automobile Magazine, the one that turns the volume up on your driving experience. Every issue takes you beyond the typical road test to put you behind the wheel, to feel the power of the Dodge Viper Coupe, the lift of the new Ferrari 512 TR. Call right now to get Automobile Magazine for just $1 an issue. And stay on top of the scoops, the specs, and the insider insights. From the genius behind the concept cars of the future to the best drives for under $25,000 today. Call for 12 monthly issues at only $1 an issue and save 66% off the cover price. Plus, get a high-intensity car light as a free bonus with your paid subscription.
Call 800-863-4100 now. That's 800-863-4100. And get into Automobile Magazine today.
CQ, CQ. This is Ham Radio and More with your host, Lynn Winkler, KB7LPW.
Okay, we're back to Ham Radio and More, 1-800-293-5366. We're talking to Gil in Rising Sun, Maryland, and Professor, you were finishing up on
that. Yeah, I think, Gil, it doesn't really, for receive only, it doesn't really matter as much whether the antenna's inside or outside. The only issue is efficiency, and in transmitting, that's very important. But on receive, you can generally live with a little less efficient antenna.
Would you recommend over the straight 50-foot straight wire, would you recommend a good active antenna in place in a discrete location?
Yeah, active antennas are kind of nice. What they are is they have an amplifying element. They're shorter, much smaller, and you could usually fit them outside and hide them. There are three, four I've seen in various catalogs, and they're quite good for improving reception of small, or actually good, any shortwave radio. And that might be as good as a good long wire inside your attic.
Well, great. I have one more question. In order to entertain myself on the way, on the drive to Phoenix, I want to listen to my Sony 2010. What would you recommend I use that receive in the car? Could I use a CB antenna with a magnetic mount? Would that be about the only option? That's what I was thinking of anyway.
Yeah, I'm not briefed on that. That's an interesting idea. I thought there was a MFJ.
Well, MFJ makes a receiver that converts your AM radio to shortwave. Of course, he already has a shortwave receiver. I guess if there was a way to tie it into the antenna that your car uses,
that could be
kind of
hard. They're pretty, pretty tucked away. That's an interesting question.
Well, how would a mag mount? Would a mag mount with a regular antenna be bad?
I don't know if there's a mag mount active antenna or not.
Oh, an active, yeah.
Yeah, but something real short won't work well on, a 2-3 foot whip won't work well on shortwave. That's a tough question, Gil. Maybe think about that. A long 50-foot long wire in your car, drag it behind you going on a road or something like that.
Well, I believe it or not, I've tried that with about a 6-foot wire. And it just doesn't seem to work real well.
Well, that's good. Thanks for the input. I'll avoid that next time.
The only thing I can suggest is maybe next week someone will have an answer.
Okay, well.
I don't know other than that.
If I find an answer between now and the time I get there, I'll call you back and let you know I made out.
That's fine. Have a safe trip. And we're on 1510 a.m. when you come to Phoenix.
KFNN.
That's it.
Very good.
Thank you, Gil.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, 1-800-293-5366. Of course, we're not uplinking the second hour, but the professor is here. If you have any questions anywhere regarding antennas, keep calling at 1-800-293-5366. The professor will answer them next hour. And in the local hour, we actually have more time to relax and answer your tough questions. So don't hesitate to call. A lot of good antenna questions today, and we'll discuss antennas more because I think it's something everybody obviously needs.
Yeah, it seems to be the common problem for people who are in apartments or something like that.
It's listening or receiving, listening or transmitting, you have no choice but to have an antenna.
That's right, and that's a good area for people to bring out new products. I mean, it's sort of easy making a nice 7-element long Yagi or something like that. Technically, very simple. But making a good high-performance indoor antenna is a real challenge.
Okay, well, thanks, EDCO MFJ Exotic Research, for helping to sponsor the show. Thank you, Professor, for being here today.
You bet.
And you too, Jack. I forgot. And good luck in Midway. Okay, and we'll talk to you when you get back. So for everybody here, don't forget to call 1-800-293-5366 the next hour. We'll talk about antennas. Len Winkler, KB7 LPW, 73.